This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Hello. Yeah, my name is Ubanas. I thank God for the opportunity to share with you the Word of God once again. And before we do it, shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us in the name of Jesus. Indeed, this is the day that you've made, that we may rejoice and be glad in it. I pray that you will speak to us. We have an appointment with you today. Lord, you will speak to our lives at individual level, that we may learn to know you more, have an encounter, a relationship with you in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray that you may dwell among us, that you may fill this room with your presence in the name of Jesus. Reveal the Father to us. Give us an understanding of who he is, to the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' name, we give thanks. Amen. Yeah, today I want to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I know this is not very new to us. And maybe to begin with, we are having a very nice time at the intercession on Tuesdays. So I would ask to please join us. So we are hearing God and getting to know his heart about the church and also his heart concerning the city of Utrecht. I remember on Tuesday, one of us received a message from God concerning the giftings of the Holy Spirit. When I was praying for the sermon, I think on Wednesday, I got the impression that I should share about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. To begin with, I will pick from where Derek left last time when he was talking about an helper, if you remember well. And he said, for you to receive the Holy Spirit, you have to recognize that he is there first. And then you have to request that he may fill you, or that God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. And then number three, you will receive. So how we receive the Holy Spirit is simply having the desire to be filled by the Lord, and he will fill you. So if you want to know how to recognize that he is there and to request, I think you can revisit his sermon. I can't remember which week, but I remember he talked about that. And there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. I know some of us know that. We will tackle each of them, and then we will finalize. And I want to read from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, from verse 1, I think, to somewhere 11. Now about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when we were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. And verse 4 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And what does he mean by this? There is no great gift than another. They are all worked by the same Spirit, by the same Lord. So those who prophesy cannot say like, we are better than those who speak in tongues, or they are better than those who have words of wisdom or knowledge. It is the same Lord working in church. And then he continues to say, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And this is very key to my message. This is actually the first which I received that day. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given for the work of the church. In other words, God gives this gift to equip us for the work of the ministry. So you have not been given the gifts of the Spirit to sit down at your place and just relax. It is for the work of the ministry. And God has not given you that gift so that you may grow yourself first. No, number one, it is to the person near you, the church first. And then through you, God will glorify himself. So if you have been given a gift like prophecy, don't prophesy for yourself. You prophesy for others. You can also prophesy for yourself, but first is for the others, and then glory goes to the Lord. And then he continues to say, to one, there is given a message of wisdom, to another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and same Spirit, and he distributes to each one just as he determines. My second point is, you cannot use the gifts as a measure of spirituality. Those who are gifted, it doesn't mean that they are better than those who do not have the gifts. No. The Lord distributes the gifts to each of us, according to his will, according to his determination. He may decide to give you prophecy. He might decide to give another words of wisdom, another word of knowledge. So it is not about you. It is about the determination of the Lord. And next slide, I think slide 7. I have listed the gifts. And I will start with word of wisdom. Word of wisdom. Now, this one is divine and supernatural insight from the Lord. And it is a supernatural problem-solving ability. It's very different from what you learn in school or you read in books. Very completely different. So if you are very clever in class, we can't say that you are gifted with wisdom. No, that is intellectual knowledge. But it is supernatural problem-solving ability. Like there is a problem, and the Lord ministers a word in you which helps you to solve the problem. We know, like, someone like Solomon operated in this gift. Like, when the two women came to him and told him, when there was a very huge famine, this woman told me last night that we cook my baby and eat him. And then the following day, she refused to offer her baby. Then the guy, out of wisdom, said, like, bring me a knife, I will share the baby between you. And now the woman with whom the baby belonged, she said, no, just give the baby to her, doesn't matter. So the woman who was showing some emotions was the owner of the baby. And this was supernatural, not something that you learn from class. And Jesus operated in this gift limitlessly. He's the only person who operated in the gift limitlessly. And I just picked one example. There are many examples, just to explain. Matthew 26, 17 to 19 says, now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover? He said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So there's a problem. We want to prepare the Passover, but where will we prepare the Passover? Then Jesus tells them, go to a city. You will find a man. It's kind of almost compares with prophecy. And then he said, and this is what you tell him. The teacher says, my time has come. And the man never argued. He told them, like, you can have the room and prepare the supper. Another scenario you know very well is when the Caesar came for taxes from Jesus. He told Peter, go fish. And the fish which you get, open the mouth and then you'll get a coin. You will pay money to the Caesar. Jesus was very smart, supernaturally. There's a problem, and then he gets insights from the Father to solve the problem. The same way for us. You get a problem, and then you get know-how from the Father to help you solve the problem at hand. I don't know how many operate in this gift, but yeah, let us not dwell on that for now. The other one is word of knowledge. And word of knowledge is God revealing information about someone, a particular situation, or about a group of people supernaturally. Like, someone comes to you and tells you, like, in your life, this and this and this is happening. This is the gift of knowledge. Sure, I know Derek operates in gifts of a word of knowledge. It's my friend, so I can quote him. And this is a very powerful tool for evangelism, especially in the Netherlands. I have been out there evangelizing, and people here don't want stories to hear about there's a savior who died somewhere. It doesn't make sense to them. But they want manifestation of power. Like, if you tell someone, like, this is happening in your life, they are likely to believe you, like, are you a prophet or something? So this one is a very, very powerful tool when we are going out. Remember, the Lord is equipping us for the ministry. I also know Renee operates in these gifts. She has oftentimes gone to preach in Utrecht, And then the Lord ministers a word in her, like, tell this woman this and this and this. And then it happens to be true. Or this guy walking ahead of you has pain in the back. Ask to pray for him. That's word of knowledge. So it opens people up for ministry. Of course, if you tell me I have an headache, and truly I have an headache, then I will want to have a conversation with you. How did you even know? And we see this. I am only picking some verses, not everything in the Bible. Of course, there are so many. In John 1, 47 to 49, this is Jesus and Nathanael. When Jesus was calling his apostles, Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree. When you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." So this was word of knowledge from Jesus. Like, how do you know me? I saw you even before you came. And you see how Nathanael responds, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God." Actually, salvation has already happened. You are the Lord. You are the King of Israel. So it is a very powerful, powerful tool when we go out. And we see so many scenarios in the Bible of how this happens. So it's my prayer that we will ask the Lord to fill us with the desire to have words of knowledge when we go out. I think now with the current setup, where we have a lot of science, a lot of technology, the only way to evangelize effectively, in my opinion, is through manifestation of power, not just history. And even during the time of Jesus, this was evident. He was telling them, even if you don't believe in me, can you just believe in the miracles that I'm doing? Can you just believe in the power? So, to change the old narrative, we need manifestation. We need to go out with power. We need to demonstrate. You find a sick person, you lay hands on them, and they get well. It's power. Of course, if I pray for you and you get well, and it is not through a physician, it is not through a doctor, then you are likely to believe the Lord is God. So let us yearn for this. And then the other one I have is faith. The gift of faith. This is a strong and unwavering belief in God's promises. And I want you to differentiate between this faith and the faith which brings people to salvation. These two are very different. Before you come to Christ, you have to believe first that Christ is there. You have to believe. But now this kind of faith is like having confidence in what the Lord has promised. For instance, Jesus said he will come again. So if you have faith, you have confidence that the Lord will come again and we will go together in heaven. The Lord says, "I will heal your diseases." So having the gift of faith is like believing strongly that the Lord will do it. It is also different from the other faith, which the Bible says every one of us is given a certain measure of faith. Like, for instance, that certain measure of faith. When you sleep, you are not worried about whether you will wake up tomorrow or not. You know that you will wake up. And you even have a calendar like, tomorrow I'll do this and this. That is a measure of faith. You believe you will wake up somehow. Maybe you will or you will not. You never know. But that is faith, which is in you, whether you are born again or not. Even people who are not born again, they have strategic plans even for 5, 10 or 15 years. Nobody said they will be there, right? But they have some faith in them. So this one is very different. It is believing in God's promises. It is very powerful. And it is given in different measures from different people. Today, someone among us will get sick. But there is a person here who will be very confident to pray for them for healing than another person. That means he has a strong belief in the promises of God. You know the Lord is a provider, he's a healer, he's a miracle worker, and you believe what he said is true. That is the gift of faith. And I only took one verse from James, which really relates to us. And it's from verse 17, which says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. So Elisha was a man like me and you, and then he prayed that it will not rain for 3.5 years. He had faith that the Lord is able to do it. And then it happened. And then he prayed again, and the Lord did it. This was faith, very strong and unwavering faith in the promises of God. Another guy was a guy like Joshua. You know, when he was fighting the enemies, he once told the Lord, Lord, stop the sun that I might beat them. And the Lord stopped the sun. I don't know for how long, is it 6 hours or something? It stopped. It has never happened again. So it was strong, strong faith. So this one is, you also need to, the Bible says like, if for the word of God to be effective in your life, you have to mix it with faith. Like the Lord says this to you, then you have to believe. And when you read the Gospels, Jesus, the only thing which made Jesus marvel, Jesus was not marveling in time. The only thing which made Jesus show an emotion or something was when he saw faith. That's why he was always asking, like, when people come to him, Rabbi, can you heal me? Then he asks, do you have faith? Then they say, yes, I believe. Faith is very important. And I have not put this one on the slide. When you read Hebrews, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I don't want to dwell on faith because faith is a whole sermon. I will continue with the gift of healing. And I think I touched on this a little bit. His ability to heal all diseases and infirmities supernaturally. There is no doctor here. Where we say, like, are you sick and you want some healing? Then you come in front. We pray for you. The Lord heals you. I have, from the church where I come from in Kenya, I have seen this one working really a lot. Where people have diseases, they have cancer, diabetes, or growth. Those diseases which we perceive like terminal. And then they are prayed upon, and then they get completely healed. I'll give an example. There was a guy in our church who was not eating meat. He was, allergic to meat. So when he eats chicken, he will get a lot of pimples all over his body. I remember with another brother in church, we asked him, Jacob, why don't you eat meat? He said, oh, I get very sick. I can't even touch. Don't even talk about chicken. Pork is the worst. And then we prayed for him. We told him, brother, eat meat. And he was completely healed. So it is, because sometimes even some things the doctors will not even understand. They will just give you some medicine to control it. But the Lord is able to heal completely. I've even had testimonies, not sure though, of people who were HIV positive. And the Lord healed them when they were prayed upon. And we see the apostles walked in this grace and also in Jesus, obviously limitless. And Matthew 9:35 summarizes what Jesus was doing. Jesus went throughout the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and every affliction. Jesus was not leaving anyone behind, those who were lepers, everyone. Jesus was healing. And we also need to go with the same faith that the Lord tells you to pray for someone who is sick. He means it. He will heal him. And brothers, I know sometimes we doubt. We really doubt. Because I remember when we were evangelizing some years ago, we went to pray for a lady who was really very sick. A very big wound on the leg. Very big one and open. The doctor says they could not heal her. And when I looked at her, I had no faith left in me. I was like, I'm not sure if she will survive. I never said it, but in my heart, I doubted. And then we just prayed, and after leaving, she was not healed immediately. After leaving, we were asking the Lord, not ashamed, your word, please. But we were young that time. We were young. But today I want to tell you, if the Lord tells you to do it regardless of the situation. Don't measure it with your physical eyes. I pray that the Lord will give us spiritual eyes to see with the same lens He sees situations. Then we will be effective. We will be effective for the ministry. We will be so equipped to handle any circumstance that comes on our way. I'm not saying, doubting, I know obviously it's a sin, but if you become aware of it, repent. Because the Lord doesn't want us to doubt in our hearts. And Acts 5:14-16 says, and more than ever believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of them, of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick to the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So these guys operated in limitless power of healing. The sick people were so many. They just laid them. And then the shadow was healing them. This is so powerful. I love it. I wish we can operate at this level. I really wish we can. So, bottom line is, if it's a doctor who is involved, then I don't think it's a gift, a miracle or something. But if it is supernaturally, through prayer and believing, then it's healing. Then there is working of miracles. Working of miracles. This is ability to do something that is beyond human comprehension. Even causes wonder. You cannot explain them by any natural law. We know the miracles that Jesus did. The first miracle was changing water into wine. Very nice wine. Within seconds. Because he said, pour water on the jars. And then he taught them, like, draw water from the jar. So it was within seconds. And then that was beyond comprehension. And we see how he raised so many people from the dead. One of them was his friend, Lazarus, the widow's son in Nain. There are so many whom he raised from the dead. So the natural law says when you are dead, then just like hath done. So now the spiritual law says you can come back to life. So it's not explainable. I haven't seen this for quite a while. I don't know if any one of us has seen it. But let me read Acts 9:36-42. It was about a woman called Tabitha or Dorcas. She was a lady in the early church. She was so nice, making garments for the ladies in church, dressing them, doing some makeup on them. And then she passed. And there was a lot of weeping in church. But she was such a nice person. And then they sent out for Peter to come and bring her back to life. That was a tough challenge. And the Bible verse 40 says, but Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Again, calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. I like that last part. Many believed in the Lord. So he prayed for her, raised her up. She was well. Peter was a man of our likeness. He had his flaws, sometimes doubting. But now this Peter, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, is a different Peter. So he never doubted that he can raise this lady from the dead. So he prayed, raised her up, and gave her back to the women in church and the saints. So that was a miracle. We know, Derek touched upon it on Sunday, about Hytukas, that was that guy who was sitting near the widow when Paul was preaching. Then he fell and was taken up dead. Then Paul, there was a lot of grief in the church, and Paul said, don't worry about it. He will be back. And he brought him back alive. Then there is the gift of prophecy. Gift of prophecy. This is a message about someone or a group of people regarding the future of the church, future of the community, the future of the city. And I think during intercession, the Lord has really spoken to some of us. I remember somewhere last year, before COVID was so bad, the Lord spoke some words regarding Utrecht, even for 2022, September, somewhere around 20-something. We have it written down. We are waiting for the manifestation of what the Lord says. So that was gift of prophecy, telling someone about the future. It may be even an encouragement, or it can even be a promise. The Lord will do this and this at this particular time. And then you wait for it. Remember when Derek was giving a testimony about when he was in Ghana, he said someone told him that he would go abroad to study. That was prophecy. So it can also be a message the Lord ministers to prophet, where the Lord ministers to you about yourself in the future. And then you hold on into his promises. I remember in 2017, around December or November somewhere, we were in a convention or conference somewhere, a youth conference. And I told them, like, in August, I will go to the Netherlands, because it was so clear to me and so open that I would go. And when the Lord tells you something that is really from him, you are never scared of whether it happens or not. Because if it doesn't happen, then maybe you never listened carefully. I think it is one of the most abused in the modern church. I have seen people just raise and say things which they are not sure whether the Lord has really laid their heart. And then people wait, perhaps the larger nation, and then it doesn't happen. And then the church of God is abused. People don't believe in church anymore. And I've seen it especially in my country, where a person just raises a prophet and says, Lord told me this and this will be president or something. It doesn't happen. And then people do not believe in church. And then bloggers will be writing. It's really, we should really be careful with this. It can also be a warning. See, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the Lord sending people to go and warn a nation, to warn a particular group of people about something which would happen. I think when I shared about evangelism, one of them who was sent was Jonah, who started to go to the people of Nineveh and tell them in 40 days, if you don't repent, then Nineveh will be destroyed. So it can be a warning. It can be a warning. But by the fact that it is so abused, it doesn't mean it's not real. It's real. It's a gift, one of the powerful tools for the church. And I think it prepares us for what will happen in the future. It opens us up to give glory to God for his promises, from giving us a warning, and then we are turning back to him again. And I picked Mark, the prophecy about Jesus, which was seen by Isaiah. Isaiah said, but now this one is copied in Mark. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." So this was Isaiah saying, prepare the way of the Lord, prophesying about the coming of Jesus. And he also prophesied about the predecessor. And this guy was John the Baptist. He was the voice which was crying in the wilderness. So John the Baptist came with a message, prepare the way of the Lord. So Isaiah saw John the Baptist, and he also saw Jesus Christ coming. I think when you read about the message of John the Baptist, he was always saying, I am baptizing you today with water, but there is coming one who is greater than I am, who will baptize you with water and the Holy Spirit. And he was referring to Jesus. So this was a promise. The Messiah, Jesus, the Savior of the world, will come. And the thing is, some will receive the prophecy, others will not receive. So it's not your problem whether they receive it or not. Just pass the message. Because it happened at that time when Jesus came, but the Jews, most of the Jews never believed. Even today, they are still waiting for the Messiah to come. And he has already come. So I had just a side note. I had a heated argument with a Jew in Utrecht Centro about whether Jesus has already come or not. I was evangelizing, and it was really a tough conversation for over 2 hours. We could not agree, but finally. I realized from the message of my pastor that he's just a troublemaker. He's always meeting evangelists there and trying to pick an argument with them. The other one is the gift of discernment. And this is supernatural ability to perceive the spiritual realm. And you know, like, there is another world which is beyond the physical, that is the spiritual. And if you have the ability to get into the spiritual realm and differentiate between good and evil, in one way we say you have the spirit of discernment. You have the ability to sense godly or demonic presence. So there are some people who will just enter into a room and then tell you, I sense there is the spirit of a witch around, or there is a witch around. Or enter into another place and then they say, I felt the presence of the Lord. It was so tangible. Discernment. And in the current setup where we live, it is very needful to have this gift. Because Jesus said, there will come many saying, I am Christ. But you need to know whether truly they are Christ or not. And many will deceive many, even brethren. That was the message of Jesus. Said like they will teach falsehood, which will draw men astray, even the one in church. So they just masquerade to be like an angel of light, giving hope, but truly they are not. So we need to sense. And I believe like we all need this gift of discernment. We all need it. We should desire this gift. Because you will, in your walk with Christ, you will meet so many people. so many people, and you don't know their agenda. But if you can discern, it will be very helpful. And we see in Acts 16:16, the Bible says, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had the spirit of divination and brought her on as much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." She was not lying, right? They will come to you telling you the truth. It's not like they will tell you a lie straight away. And then it goes on to say, "And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out of her that very hour." So she was a diviner, but she was telling, she pretended as if just one among them. "These are men of God. They are preaching to you. They are bringing good news." But kind of, she was a fortune teller, and she was earning some guys somewhere seated, some money. And then she was delivered. 2 Corinthians 11:13 says, "It is Paul warning against false prophets and false teachers who will come during the latter days." The latter days. And from the look of things, it looks like the latter days are here with us. Jesus is almost coming. He says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." But they are not. "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." He pretends. He's taking an image of a good person. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. My brothers and sisters, we really need to discern during these times. Not everyone who is coming to you with a message of hope is really meaning hope. There are some of you, or some who are coming to lead you astray from the calling from Jesus Christ, from your faith. So let us be worried about this. And gift of speaking in other tongues. Gifts of speaking in other tongues. So this is a spiritual language spoken in the direction of the Holy Spirit. Know that? It may even be understandable human languages. But I pray that it will be understandable human language. You speak it before the church. We need to understand what you are telling us. Speaking in tongues needs interpretation, because it is meant for edifying the church. And there is also a difference between speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. When you pray in tongues, you are edifying yourself in the faith. In Jude 1, the Bible says, "Pray in tongues, build yourself in the most holy faith." That is Paul speaking to Jude. Build yourself in the most holy faith. And it first manifested in Acts 2, in the early church, speaking in tongues. Acts 2, 1-4, it says, "When the day of Pentecost had arrived," that is, Pentecost is the promise of the Holy Spirit, "they were all gathered together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So I said, it is in the direction of the Holy Spirit. So it says they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered. They were so surprised, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed, astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? I think this pulled men to Christ. I speak Swahili. Obviously, it's very different from North Africa. I hear someone from an Arab country speaking in my own native language, or my mother language is a different called Kamba, and then he's speaking fluently in church. It's so amazing, so beautiful. And I remember in my university days in Kenya, there was a guy, when he spoke before the church, he used to speak in Arabic. And the guys from Somalia who were around studying, they wouldn't understand what he was saying. It was so beautiful. Like, you get ability to speak in a language even you yourself can't comprehend. But sometimes the Spirit will give you to understand what you are saying. Sometimes I remember when we sing in church, and then the worship is going on, and the Lord gives me a tongue in myself. I can sing, but in a tongue. The song is going on, blessed be the name of the Lord, and then you are singing in a tongue. So it's so beautiful. Then you come out of yourself, you are worshiping and pouring your heart to the Lord. So it was poured on the apostles on that day. And those people from Persia, even Ethiopia, some of them gave their lives to Jesus. But then Paul says, when you speak before the church, speaking in tongues, when you come here with a tongue, there must be an interpreter. Otherwise, I come here and speak something as Italian, and there's no Italian here to interpret. It doesn't make sense, right? It's of no use. So then we come to the gift of interpretation. Someone speaks, but the Lord has given this person the ability to interpret any tongue. He might not be able to speak the languages in the normal, but he has ability to interpret tongues. I remember there's a time Rene said there was a person who the Lord was giving the gift of speaking in a tongue and then interpretation. But I think he's no longer with us now. So interpretation of tongues is the ability to understand when someone speaks in tongues. That's simple. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, and then I'll read again 6 and then 13. It says, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. He does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him, and he utters miseries in the spirit. This is praying in tongues. When you are praying, you are building yourself in the most holy faith. You are speaking in a language that is not understandable by people, but understandable by the Lord. Remember, we used to make a joke like when you pray in a tongue, you are praying in a language that the devil doesn't understand. So it was just a joke. So you are uttering mysteries in the spirit. And you can really see the spiritual realm so clearly when you are praying in a tongue. But now, what is speaking? Verse 6 says, "Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching?" So if you come in front, please, we need to understand. We pray that someone will come up who is able to interpret that tongue for us. But it's okay for you to pray in the spirit in a tongue. That's good. You don't need an interpreter. So, and 13 he says, "Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret." You can also speak in a tongue and interpret it. So that is also possible. You can speak in, the Lord gives you a tongue, then you come here and then you interpret it. What the Lord says. So it's amazing. It's really amazing. I can attest to that. Because when you pray in a tongue, or when you are filled with the Spirit, and then you are out of yourself, you really get rid of what is happening around. You don't even understand what is happening. And then you can really commune with the Lord. You can have a fellowship. You can have an intense encounter in the presence of the Lord. I remember when I was first filled with the Holy Spirit, we were in a night vigil where we pray and worship from the evening, I think 7 to 7 in the morning. And it was really amazing. Now all of us were caught in a trance. Like, we started praying and then the Holy Spirit came. And we woke up in the morning. It was so beautiful. I remember we were cooking some food in the kitchen. So it was boiling with some firewood. And it never burned. There was no one to check. But we prayed, we were caught. And then in the morning when we came back to our senses, it was like, we left some food. I think now it burned. So we went and looked. It was so completely cooked. And nice. The Lord is so amazing. It was so beautiful. I will never forget that day. So, you begin to see things differently. And even it changes your personality, like the person of yours. You change to a new man. That's why Jesus said, like, you can never understand a spiritual man. It's like wind. You cannot know where it blows from or where it goes. So I pray that the Lord will fill us so much, even if you are filled for the first time. That's why John Baptist was saying that he will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. You can always be baptized again with the Holy Spirit. You can always be filled again with the Holy Spirit. Because for sure, brethren, if we don't have the Holy Spirit with us in this walk of faith, especially in these days, it's not possible to make it. There are a lot of distractions out there. There are a lot of people calling out there. But you need the Spirit. You need the Spirit. And to know the value of the Holy Spirit, I think Derek touched on this. Check the Peter who was not filled by the Holy Spirit, and the Peter who was filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter won't deny Jesus 3 times and said, "I don't know you." And then after Jesus went back to heaven, he told the men, "I'm going back to fishing. I don't really understand this guy." He went back to fishing. But when the Holy Spirit came, these people were hiding in a room, maybe an upper room like this. They were hiding there in fear of the Jews. in fear of persecution. The Holy Spirit comes upon them, and then they come out and they start preaching. They are no longer afraid of what is happening. Now they are preaching, and 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus that day. And then they went to pray in the temple, and then there was the beggar at the temple. Remember that day? I think 5,000 people, when that beggar, that cripple was raised to stand, 5,000 people came to Christ. Within days, a church of 8,000 people. It was amazing how the Holy Spirit was working through these people. From a coward to a very bold servant of the Lord. And they were telling the authorities, choose, will we listen to you or will we listen to what the Lord is saying? So to get this boldness, to go out there, to speak, to call people to Christ, we need the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on ourselves. We can't. So I have the key takeaways before I finalize. Yeah, I think I have a few minutes. Gifts of the Holy Spirit always know they are given to equip us for the work of ministry. That's what the Bible said. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for common good. They are to equip us. To your brothers in the church and to spread the gospel outside the church. And they are given to us to build or to edify the church of Christ. They should not be used for self-seeking purposes. If the Lord uses you to heal a person, it is not you. It is to the glory of the Lord. If the Lord uses you to perform a miracle, it has nothing to do with you. The Lord can even use a small child who is not conscious to pass his message. So it is to glorify the Lord. It is not to build your reputation, the guy who heals the sick. No. The guy who is used by the Lord to heal the sick. That is the motive. And like I said before, it is not a measure of spirituality. Remember there was a myth which was going around in our young church then in 2012, I think. Like, if you are not, if you don't pray in tongues, you are not filled by the Holy Spirit. That is a lie. It is a gift, and the Lord gives as he wills. So if you don't have any gift which is operational in your life, doesn't mean you are not in Christ. You are in Christ. The Lord is with you. And the last part. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, and ministrating, and various kinds of tongues. And then the question is, verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, and do all interpret? That is a summary that the Lord gives us the gifts for common good. There's a prophet there. There's an evangelist there. There's a healer there. There's an interpreter of tongues there. But it is all from building one body, one church. No one is important than the other. We are all equal before the Lord. So it doesn't mean like the prophets are more important. Those who stand here to preach, no, not by any means. Not at all. Even if your work is to come and wipe the chairs, that is ministry. It is the same as what Pastor Ndakian does when he stands here to preach from building the church of God. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for speaking to us today about the Holy Spirit and the giftings of the Holy Spirit. They can become operational in our lives, in the church, for the work of the ministry out there in evangelism. I pray that you will equip us in the name of Jesus, that some of us you will give words of wisdom, others knowledge, others faith, others working miracles, others you will give tongues, interpretation, prophecy in the name of Jesus. I pray as we receive all these gifts, Father, we will use them to build your church, to work in the vineyard in the name of Jesus, that we will not use them for self-seeking purposes, that we will not find vain glory in them, but all the glory and the honor shall be to you. I pray for them that are not yet filled by the Holy Spirit, that Father in heaven, you will fill them to the brim, baptize them today with fire, with the Holy Ghost, and may the giftings start manifesting in their lives to the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.